For too long, the fertility market has been bewildering, overwhelming, and frankly, I think has downright ignored the needs and difficult experiences of the people they're supposed to be serving. Ovum has made it their mission to change this completely. Now, I am extremely choosy about who I promote on this podcast because I'm very protective of my listeners and audience, which is why you've probably only ever heard one spoken ad like this before. So it's with complete confidence, excitement, and pride that I can share this amazing company with you. Ovum care about you, truly. From creating products to support conception and fertility that are designed by doctors and backed by the latest science without cutting any corners, from adding access to meditations I've personally written and recorded inside their pregnancy test boxes, Ovum is founded by individuals who've navigated infertility themselves. I really couldn't be more proud to partner with them and tell you about them. Ovum is driven by the belief that everyone who is trying to conceive deserves better, and I am 100% behind this ethos. So head over to startwithovum.com and use code LIFERAFT10 for 10% off their tests and supplements. So a very, very warm welcome to this special live recording of Fertility Life Raft. We are back after a break. And we're not just back, we're back with the most wonderful guest. And I'm so happy that she's joining us this morning. And it's Pippa Vosper. And Pippa, you're a brand consultant. Is that right? Is that your kind of job title?
I haven't done brand consulting because of writing the book for 2 years. So I think now I have to take that off of everything and just say writer, because it's what I do most of now.
Yes, exactly, which is why you're here today, because you have written this wonderful book, Beyond Grief, which just came out just a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2 months ago, I think now.
2 months ago. And what we'll have a chat about, so this is a live recording, so we've got people from my membership are joining us here to listen in, and hopefully there'll be time to have some questions or just see where the conversation goes. I don't have a fixed agenda. I'm not very good at that. I prefer to just have a nice chat, but I really wanted to have you on, Pippa, because there was something really empowering I felt about the book that you've written. And something really comforting and soothing about the way that you've put it out there as well. Even the colours with that warm kind of orange and yellow cover and everything about it feels like a hug, like it feels like the thing that people can go to when they need it. So I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, to just share a little bit about what made you want to write this book.
Well, I lost my son now 5 months into my pregnancy, 5.5 years ago, and I was already writing for magazines and things at the time, and I wrote a piece for British Vogue, and it did, I wouldn't say one of those sort of modern terms went viral, but it did go everywhere, and I had messages from people all over the world, and you know, it got picked up a lot, and publishers came to me then and said, would you write a book? And I said, I'm too emotional, I wouldn't be able to do this constructively. And then another year went by, and I wrote another piece for British Vogue on a year of grief, because it was a year of before I started to really feel like I was coming to terms with what happened. And again, the publishers came back and said, would you write it? And I said, I'm really not ready. And I knew that this is a wonderful opportunity, but you have to be ready to write this, to make it tight and constructive and helpful. And then exactly 1 year later, about five more rounds of IVF to try and have another baby after I lost Axel, who also was an IVF baby. And they came back again, and I just said, I'm still not ready. So in lockdown, I had the time to really, you know, stop and focus. And I thought to myself, yes, I can really write this now with clarity and to be helpful and really make it the book that I would have wanted when it happened to me. And I thank you so much for saying it's like a hug. That's what it was meant to be. And the information that's in there, you know, it doesn't just focus on my story, it is lots of shared stories. Medical experts are in there, and psychologists, and advice for people who haven't lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
It became the book that I needed and wanted it to be when I'd had the time to really live with my experience and do the correct research over 2 years for the book.
So you found yourself in that position where you'd not only lost Axel, but you'd also been through IVF. So you'd experienced the grief of infertility as well.
Yeah.
And then going through more IVF after that, and then trying to process all of that at the same time. And so did you just feel like there just wasn't something out there that really spoke to you?
No, I mean, there's lots of wonderful people. There's Zoe Clark-Coates and there's Elle Wright. And I admire and respect both of them hugely, but their way of writing is so beautiful and brilliant. But for me, it just wasn't like, right, that's not quite where I'm sitting with this. So you have to find something that's sitting with you, no matter how great their books are, and they are great. You just have to find something that's sitting with you. So I had to write this in a completely different way. And then hopefully the people that would want my book would also read lots of other books, but this mine might connect with them in a different way.
Exactly that. And that's what I found, like with all of the Life Raft work that we do here in the membership, that's sort of partly what I always say, is like, just keep engaging, like keep finding the thing that sits with you, that you find resonates, because what someone else will be like, this is amazing, you've got to read this. And someone else will just like, I don't know, it just didn't speak to me, you know, like, yeah. For me, I always say, like, the thing that got me into kind of self-development was The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Like, that's the book that changed my life. But for other people, it'll be something completely different. And that's why it's so important that if you feel called to create something like you did, that you must do it, because there will be people out there that need your book and that need this writing. So you found that you needed that time between going through that experience to gain that clarity and perspective in order to then actually process what it was that you needed in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that other people have released books and they're not as considered as other people's books. And you can see that they've tried to capitalize on a moment, or maybe they thought, this is what's needed right this minute, you know, I don't know. But I think you can see a book that's been considered, and you can see a book that's been sort of, let's get this out of a moment type thing. And I just thought to myself, this is going to be around forever, I hope. Mm-hmm. And if I can just sit with it and really not rush it and not try and get it out for Baby Loss Awareness Week, or get it out before this book comes out or whatever, I think I can then create something that's going to sit with people forever, I hope. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. It's just impartial, and it's just written in a way that's quite gentle and calm and informative. And, you know, I hope the medical information there holds up. I mean, hopefully lots and lots will change in the next couple of years to even further create a better experience for those who live through loss and infertility. But yeah, it had to be a book that just, I could see it being picked up in 20 years and still be helpful.
And I love that considered feeling, because I think you're absolutely right. Sometimes we do feel I've certainly felt it, but like, oh, I must get something, you know, I need to produce something immediately. But actually, the fact that there's been such care and consideration in this really, really does come through. And the fact that there's, you know, that, you know, and I kind of love that in our world of immediacy and in our world of kind of rushing and like, we need something now, now, now. There is something so important about taking the time to put together something which you, and it will be around in 20 years time, that people will pick it up, 40, you know, it will be a lasting thing. But let's touch on what we were just chatting before I pressed record there, and that you mentioned there, like trying to get something out for Baby Loss Awareness Week. So whenever you're listening to this, we have just had that. So that was last week, Baby Loss Awareness Week. And just before I pressed record, we were chatting, me, Pippa and Lucy, who works with me here, and we were chatting about actually how you guys found it really difficult actually to process things during that week, and that it actually felt a bit much. I mean, Pippa, you were doing so much awareness raising yourself, with doing panel talks and, you know, talking about your book and everything. Just tell me a bit now about what you were saying before I pressed record about how you felt.
Yeah, it's such an interesting space, the baby loss and infertility community. Everybody is so lovely, and you want to do so much for everybody, because everyone is not in pain, maybe still in great pain, but everyone has experienced the pain and the longing and the grief. And I did a series of talks last week, and I did four, one a day, and along with Elle Wright and Tommy's and Plum and Ashby asked me to be in the Tommy's campaign this year for Wave of Light, which I was so honoured to be asked. Mm. And when Elle sent me the message, I was like, oh my God. But because she is, you know, someone I've looked to for so long in this industry, in this community. And I did all these talks. And by the time we got to Baby Loss Awareness Wave of Light on the Saturday evening, I couldn't engage. I was just so overwhelmed with all of the experiences that I've had, all of the stories that I have been grateful and welcoming to be told to me throughout the week. I mean, God, it's so nice when people feel they can share with me. But it got to Wave of Light when I had this beautiful candle in front of me and I wanted to be public about it. And as I was saying with Lucy, she and I both felt like, oh, I just need this to be a quiet moment to myself. And I want to be with everybody in it. But I, you know, you shouldn't need to feel like you have to be public to show that you are within the community and participating in lighting the candle. And I felt some ways that, oh my goodness, after all the talk of my book and all of the talks I've done this week, I felt an immense amount of guilt for having a private moment with myself with the candle, which I did in my bedroom. And it's interesting, isn't it? The pressure you feel when you are in such a nice community that you don't want to sort of then have a private moment almost. It really is, it's conflicting sometimes, you know? But I did feel after the week of talks and engaging and all the Instagram posts, quite rightly talking about everyone's experiences, I did just feel like, wow, that's heavy for me right now with my own experience. And I need just to take a day off of social media. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that that's really helpful, I think, for others to hear that you needed to do that, and that we need to take ownership of how much we're consuming all the time.
Yes.
And be really conscious of, like, how is that affecting me and what can I then do about it? And then make that decision to go, do you know what, I'm going to just close my bedroom door and have a little moment by myself.
And I loved that moment, but I did, as I said, I did feel sort of like, oh no, am I going to be judged for not being public and showing that I'm lighting my candle? It's interesting, the whole thing, you know, you worry about external opinion sometimes, you know, it's a life thing. You worry about external opinion with parenting, with work, with baby loss, you know. It's just a natural thing, but because we have this huge social media presence in our lives.
Oh my goodness, so much. And actually that's been coming up quite a lot in some of my client sessions, is that idea of kind of just what other people think. Wow. Around just so many things. Like, you know, one of my clients of the day was just saying, I hate that people, so this is going a bit of a departure here actually, but it just came up that, you know, I hate that people might be feeling sorry for me. I just hate that sense of kind of pity. And I don't want that, like, as much, but I do want their support, but I don't want that kind of sympathy. And I think there's the difference, isn't there, between the sympathy and empathy. And that's what we need to try and really raise awareness with, actually, as well, talking about awareness. And move away as well from worrying what other people think. But it's so ingrained in our culture, isn't it?
Yeah. But I love, if you could, I'm not telling you what to do, but if you could do something on your channels, on your socials about that, I mean, that would help me, it would help so many people, just to be able to release some of these expectations and obligations and sort of fear that you're not saying the right thing, or you're not doing the right thing, or you're doing too much, or you're doing too little. It's an interesting balance to find, and I haven't found it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some of the content in your book, which is so helpful. So one of the things that I've scribbled down, because I focused on this in the past and I'm really glad that it's in there, but it's what to do when you encounter the hurtful comments that you're going to come across. So tell me about, why did you want to include that bit in this book, and what were the strategies that you found helpful when you did have those hurtful comments?
Gosh, it's still very difficult. In hindsight, you can say a lot of things and you can see a lot of things. But I knew very early on after my loss, I'd been public on Instagram about my bump, because it had been quite a few years. And my son was nearly six when I was able to say, oh, I'm having another baby, because we did IVF and we did testing for 3 years. And my goodness. So secondary infertility, I hadn't really spoken about it, but it was probably assumed by the people that followed me on socials or knew me. And then when I got to such a point that I felt comfortable when people did say the wrong thing to me, or perceived wrong thing, half the time, no, most of the time, it's not their fault when they say things that aren't helpful, because they don't know any different. But I would say to them very calmly, can I just say, what you just said was hurtful, and I'll just give me a minute, I'll tell you why. And in every case, apart from one, people were really, they absorbed it, and they really were sort of thankful that I'd been able to explain why, rather than going, oh my God, you're so insensitive. I said, look, that hurt me, or that was a bit uncomfortable because of this. And they'll take that forward, I hope, and then won't do it again to somebody else. It's so difficult. If someone says something incredibly painful to you, hurtful, we can't remember in that moment that actually it's not malicious and it's not intentional. They're not saying it to be cruel. They're just saying it because they haven't been told another way to connect with you or respond to you, you know? And it's so common for these comments to come out. But I think if it's hard to say, it's hard to explain it in the moment, but I did find the more I did it, the more confident I got at doing it.
Yeah, and I actually think that's a really key point, is that actually, because it probably feels uncomfortable because we're not used to actually being really open and honest with people. Like, that's just something that maybe it's a British thing as well, but we just feel like we just sort of have to take it, like what people are saying to us. But actually, the more that we can communicate and say, do you know what, I'm going to tell you this because I actually think it's going to be good for you to know this as well going forward, then you practice and you get more comfortable, and then actually it becomes almost normal to be like, oh, do you know what, that's not the greatest of things you could choose to say to me at this point. And I think you can do that really gracefully, and you can do that in a way that feels good for you and for them.
Yeah.
And then actually, by being open and honest, you then pave the way for a better connection and relationship with that person going forward, right? Like, that's the joy of kind of open and honest communication. What were your kind of number one really difficult comments that you encountered and that you still might encounter?
Probably the worst one was from one of my best friends in the world, and we had lunch about a month after Axel died, and I walked in and I wasn't looking sad, and I had makeup on, I wasn't looking forlorn, and she actually said to me over that lunch, and I've spoken about it before and she won't mind me saying it, or maybe she will mind me saying it, she said to me, I'm so glad you're feeling better. And I just said to her, I have to tell you, I am so far from better. I'm just able to be out with you for this hour, and actually laughing with you and talking about your shoes or your holiday is the most welcome relief from the day in, day out crying and longing and depression that I'm dealing with. But I'm really not better, and I will not be better for probably a couple of years. And even then, the grief will always be with me somehow. I will have just moved, as the title says in my book, beyond that grief that you cannot believe you are living and you cannot escape, you know? So through Baby Loss Awareness Week last week, there was a lot of grief that came up within my body and my mind. And I was like, wow, how interesting. You're still there. You know, you're still there a lot.
Yeah.
Which I thought had been, I don't suppress my grief, but equally it's not part of my day now as it was for so long. But so that was really unhelpful. And then obviously the standard ones, I think we all get, or at least you can get pregnant. This is such a good sign. Yes, you can get pregnant. I'm like, wowzers, yes, I can, but there's nothing to say I'm ever going to be lucky enough to be pregnant again. And you know, just what I think we all get when people don't understand, and we have to remember not to be angry because it's not their fault. They're not horrible. They're not going, how can I upset this person further? You know, they just don't know.
And I feel that that's such a key point, is that actually there is such a lot of there is a lot of anger about the comments that you get, and that's completely understandable. Yeah. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because of where you are in that moment. So yeah. I feel like, you know, how, like, recognize that anger and see it, and then as you said, there was a line actually, let go of resentment. I think you've written right at the end there in one of the bits, let go of the resentment and anger, because that is the part that isn't going to serve you going forward and that isn't going to, you know, create good relationships going forward. But it's, it, you know, it's hard, isn't it?
Very hard. And it's not to say you can't be angry, because it's an unavoidable emotion. I was angry, you know, half the time, like going, wow, like you really said that to me, or you didn't consider me, or you didn't text me once, you know, some friends just didn't communicate with me. To this day, I can't be that friendly with them anymore because of my experience. They didn't reach out once in any capacity. So I'm like, I know it was difficult for you to understand, but my goodness, you perhaps should have just sent a card, just checked in once or twice every couple of months to see how I was. But by the by, again,
yeah.
The anger people feel and the resentment, you're dealing with enough already. You've either having infertility challenges, or you've lost a pregnancy, or you've been had multiple losses. And I think then to be angry at somebody else, you're just creating all of this further emotion in your body that you really don't need. And if I had a magic wand and said, this is how you get rid of the anger immediately, I would give this wand to everybody to use. But, you know, it's just trying to remember, if you can, the anger directed at somebody else is on top of already an awful lot that your body and your mind is having to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can let it go somehow, find a tool, find some means to be able to let it go, it's just going to be better for your physical and mental health.
Yeah, exactly that. Because it just gets like layered on top, you know. I like that image that you were saying, you're already going on through so much, let's not add more stuff on if we can, or like find, yeah, exactly that. Like find the tool, find what it is that works for you to work through that anger and to process it and get rid of it. I really liked something actually in your book, talking about kind of what to do with these feelings and things, and that you had a chapter on belief, and I really liked the kind of focus that you explained the difference between what you felt like with positive thinking and the idea of manifesting versus focus with intent, and those were your excellent words that I really enjoyed there. So tell me a little bit more about your thoughts around all of that. I mean, this is something I talk about all the time with positivity, and yeah. Being very, very mindful about that idea of like kind of staying positive and what that actually boils down to for when you're going through infertility and loss and any difficult road to bringing home a baby.
Yeah.
If you hear somebody telling you to just stay positive, it's just, yeah, it's one of those comments that just makes you want to just throw them out the window, because it's much, much more nuanced, and it's just more complex than that. So tell me your thoughts on this.
So as I say in the book, you know, you're not going to manifest a baby. It's impossible. And a positive thinking is not going to cure a medical condition. And positive thinking is not going to create two lines on your pregnancy test. And, you know, positive thinking is not going to, I don't know, stop you feeling emotion and grief and longing. But what it did for me personally is it, as I say in the book, it just kept my head above water. It didn't give me a miraculous pregnancy positive, and it didn't do many other things that I hoped it would do. There's no such thing as manifesting a pregnancy. But what I do believe in is I was reading positive quotes every morning just to start my day off with a little flick, you know, of a switch in my head to go, right, oh, there's that quote. And it honestly, it helped. Like yeah. It didn't stop me grieving. It didn't stop me longing. But what it did was it just gave me that a little tiny reminder of, right, I'm going to have a little bit more hope today. You know, if I start my day off and I'm go straight into, which is normal, oh my God, another heavy day, you know? But if I was just reading these positive affirmations, and I followed a couple of accounts on Instagram, and honestly, for me, it just kept my head above water. Like, okay, right. Reminder to be hopeful. It maybe will never lead anywhere, but let's just give it that little injection of something that's going to remind me that, oh, it could be good. It could be a good result. Or, oh, this might not last forever. I might get somewhere and I might have the baby that I'm longing for. You know, yeah. And there's a big difference between somebody saying, oh, manifest, get a vision board for your baby, or saying just these little injections of positivity might just take the edge off. And that's what happened for me. It did take the edge off.
Yeah. And actually, we can't put a price on taking the edge off, right? Because it's taking the edge off, which allows you to actually live your life instead of, you know, really not being able to function.
Yeah.
So it's so important, actually, to recognize the difference from that. And I feel like with the whole manifesting conversation around this, and like, I feel very strongly about people, because I think people sometimes might get confused about what my messaging is, because I'm a, you know, positive mindset mentor, I'm a transformational coach, but there's a very specific difference between telling people that they can manifest a baby versus that focus with intent idea, and the fact that, you know, actually I do like vision boards, but there's a difference between you know, the way that we look at how we're using these things and what we expect from them versus kind of, you know, the pressure of like, well, and because this is what I went into when I was in my own thing. I was, well, I'm going to make the vision board and I'm going to manifest this pregnancy. I'm going to manifest a baby. And then the pressure was so goddamn high.
Yeah.
It didn't work. And then I was just pissed off that it hadn't worked. And I was like, well, I'm doing all of the things, universe, and it wasn't working. But I put so much, there was so much pressure on there. So I love that there's that difference that you're explaining. It's like, it's the focus with intent and it's the positive thinking, which actually just helps me feel better.
Yeah.
And then it gets me out of bed and it makes me be able to process what is going on and gives me that belief, gives me that hope that is so hard when you're deep in the thick of it, and keeps you carrying on.
And I think hope is important. I do. I think it's so important to always have hope that this may not always be like this. You know, there is something coming up for me, I hope, that will be, give me maybe something of what I want. I'm not saying it's going to give you a baby. Well, hopefully for anybody who would like to have a baby, it will give them a baby. But as we all know, life doesn't always go to plan with fertility and pregnancy. So
Exactly. And that, you know what, lots of people who do what I do won't share stories of when it hasn't worked because they feel like it damages, you know, their, but that's so against what I try to do, because I want people to know that they're going to be okay, whatever happens, which is why I do share, you know, like Kat Brown, who's fantastic. She's been on my podcast.
Love Kat.
Love her. You know, we've had really interesting conversations around this. And anyway, that's a side point, but really, really important to focus on that. I also really like that bit you said right at the end of your book, where you said, I don't believe things happen for a reason, but I do believe in the positive of being shown another way to view life and the experiences we face. Talk to me about that feeling that's come through. And when did you manage to find that perspective?
Definitely a couple of years later, after my pregnancy loss. I mean, oh my, if we go back to our conversation 10 minutes ago, another one people said a lot, it's obviously happened for a reason.
Don't say it. Why did they say it?
I'm like, no, there was no reason my baby died. Even if there was a medical reason, the universe did not give this to me for a reason. Thank you very much. Alice, what was your question? I've now gone off track.
I get it, because it's such a feeling. So you said, I don't believe things happen for a reason, but I do believe in the positive of being shown another way to view life and the experiences we face.
Absolutely. So before I lost my baby, I was a decent person. Don't get me wrong. Totally fine. But perhaps if someone had said to me, oh, my husband's dying of cancer, I don't think I would have taken it in with the severity with which that comment needs to be taken. I'd have been like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, how's work? Maybe, I don't know, probably. But then when you lose a pregnancy or you have any form of loss or challenge, you do actually, in most cases, become a better person, because you understand what trauma is and what grief is and what not a perfect life is. So therefore you just have this empathy towards others who are also facing challenges, and then you can listen and you can ask the right questions and you can be hopefully helpful. Because before this, I hadn't had a great deal of trauma, so I wasn't best placed to be helpful. So if you can go through life, which I can now, and be like with a purpose and be helpful, Like, I encountered someone at the weekend with a challenging pregnancy. So then I could, I hope, be helpful. And how nice is that for going forward for everybody? If I can help this person in any way, and you are super helpful, Alice, in what you do, you're helpful, right? You're helpful. But I believe that only comes in a true capacity when you have been through something that causes you to stop and say, oh God, life can be terrible. And then when you can see that life can be terrible, you can say to that person who is having their own challenge, I don't understand your exact challenge, but I am with you because I can hear you, and tell me and talk to me. You know, if you really connect with them on a meaningful level rather than a surface level of, oh, that sounds terrible. Where are you going on holiday next week?
You know? And it's that thing you just said around, you know, I don't know what you're going to, but I'm with you. And that's the difference, isn't it, between the sympathy and empathy that we were talking about before, is that we just need people to sit with us, like when things are tough. And you know, you don't need to placate, you don't need to tell me everything's going to be okay, although I obviously work with people to try to help them know that they will be. But it's that kind of just be with me in this moment, so that you aren't glossing over what has happened. So there is that I've been through something and I've hit that rock bottom now, and so I can actually connect and be helpful, be of service in the world, you know. And that is something that, yeah, you're right, that there's that kind of profound shift of perspective that you get if you've really, you know, really been there. I just want to say, if people who are listening want to ask anything to Pippa, please pop it in the chat, because I want to make sure there's time for me to share your questions with Pippa. So yeah, pop it in the chat if you have any questions. So, and also there was something as well that you mentioned, which I think is important to say for people, which was that idea that moving forward doesn't mean forgetting. So once you've kind of been through loss or a different experience that you feel like, you know, you need to process, you are gonna learn how to live again, like in a different way, but you will learn how to move forward, as you say. And you've specifically written about this, because I'm assuming you found that there was a part of you that felt like you weren't honouring Axel, like when you began to move forward. So how do we navigate that? What's your views?
Well, it is very difficult, because as I say in the book, and I say to anyone who asks, I could feel myself at one point coming out of my grief, not coming out of it, but it was getting less intense. And then I was panicking that I was leaving him behind and leaving my experience behind. And then, I can feel myself moving forward, but oh my God, don't let me move forward, because it means I don't love him, or I'm not with him anymore, or he's a part of my past. So what I did was I was like, how do I do this? And then, so he just sits next to me, like literally he just sits next to me through life, and we are going through it together, but he's just sitting here. You know, I won't see him grow up. I won't see him like his brother and sister having conversations and changing personality and doing all these things, but he's just sitting there. So he's alongside me, rather than, oh, that's something that happened in the past, or, oh, I've got to really keep him present and be with him all the time, and I've got to talk about him to keep him alive. He is alive with me in spirit. He's just sitting there. And anything I do, he's just there. And this is so interesting. I did this panel talk about a year after he died, and there was this psychic on the panel, Michelle Knight, and she is just so wonderful to follow on Instagram, and she's a wonderful woman. Anyway, and we were talking, and she had this huge hat on, and it had Pisces written down the side of it, and Axel is a Gemini. But by the by, this woman comes from across the bar, and I said to Michelle, oh, how do I know he knows I'm still with him and I haven't forgotten him? And this woman comes from across this enormous bar, packed, and says to Michelle, I love your hat. And Michelle goes, thank you very much. And the woman says to her, I'm a Gemini, my birthday is the 6th of June. And then just walks away. And I looked at Michelle crying, and I said, Michelle, Axel's birthday is the 6th of June. And Michelle just smiled at me, and I was bawling my eyes out, and she goes, there's your answer. You know, you can. And before this, trust me, if anyone had told me that story, I would say, why are you on hallucinogenic drugs? Like, it doesn't happen. But because it happened to me, I'm now like fully believing that these signs come forward when you're lucky enough to receive them. Because before this, honestly, I would have sort of rolled my eyes and gone, okay, were you drunk? But because I was neither, I know that it happened. And so it was that point that they're still there. All your people are still there with you, you know, be it babies or parents or friends. It's just in a different capacity, and you just have to, you don't have to accept it, but I accepted that, all right, they're just here all the time. They're not back there, you know.
Oh, that story just gave me goosebumps. Like, I read about that. It's in your book. I've heard it before.
You even
read
it. Believe it happened.
I remember reading it and thinking, wow. And then, but as hearing you say it, just, and then picturing it, I can't, that's given me little shivers and goosebumps. And I think like hearing you say that feels very reassuring and comforting. You know, that thought that they're there. And that,
yeah,
and they haven't gone anywhere. They're just, and that you're going along, and they're just, I'd love to hear what people feel about that as well. Francesca's saying, I haven't experienced baby loss other than a chemical pregnancy, but have experienced a lot of grief in my life. Would your book be relevant to me going through secondary infertility and grieving the family I'd hoped to have and the grief of losing my mum?
In honesty, I don't think it's the right book for those experiences. Yvonne John, I believe, has written a wonderful book. I might be wrong on this, but she has spoken beautifully about grieving the family she hoped to have. So I would go to Yvonne John's Instagram and have a look, because I believe there is a book. And actually, you know what? She could probably help you point to a book that would be super helpful. The grief of losing your mum. It won't help you from my thinking about everything that's in the book. I'm trying to think, Alice, do you know any books that help with grief of losing Sarah?
Yeah, there are. I'll put some in the life raft, actually, because I think that's something that's come up recently, is that someone messaged me and said, I this has just happened, and I really just need somewhere to go for this. But do you know what I would also say, though, Pippa, with your book, as much as there are lots of specific parts about baby loss, the actual process of grief itself and the thoughts and feelings and everything that you talk about in there is very relevant, actually,
you
to lots of
so?
I believe so. Like, I think it's really applicable to lots of, and of course it's based on, you know, your experience, and then the stories in there are based on baby loss, but the actual thoughts and you know, the things that you've been through and the process that is in there, I think is applicable. But you know, also, there are some amazing podcasts and things now as well around grief. You know, the grief cast. I think there's Good Morning, which is
Emma. Oh yes. Oh, of course. The grief, the grief gang. Amber speaks a lot. Oh my goodness, Francesca. The grief gang is Amber lost her mum. Amber lost her mum when she was 19. So actually, I think she could be a good resource for you. Julia Samuel has written books on grief. And I've not read them, but I've heard they're very helpful.
Mm.
So I think those could be really, really useful places. Yvonne John, Amber Jeffrey at the Grief Gang, and Julia Samuel's books. Yeah. Mm.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, anyone listening, like, do come and join this conversation around resources for that. Lucy's saying, I just love that so much. I've had 6 losses and I'm currently struggling with dealing with it all, and knowing that they are there every step and in every moment of life with me is just beautiful. I will definitely take this with me. Oh, good, Lucy.
Lucy, absolutely. You know, they are there. And you know, it's funny. I say to some people who write to me and say, well, you know, are they lonely? And I said, well, just connect them with everyone whose other babies are out there somewhere. And, you know, and sometimes I say, what's the name of your baby? And if they say Lily, I say, well, I'll just tell Axel that Lily's out there and just to find her, you know. And if that sounds woo-woo, then it sounds woo-woo. But it helps me, because the thing that I hated the most was thinking that Axel was on his own. there. So then someone told me about their baby. Actually, it's Leo, Chloe Hunter's baby Leo. And I said, right, well, I'm going to just tell Axel to find Leo. And I just say, right, well, they're not alone anymore. And if you give the name of your baby, you just tell them all to find each other. And it really helps me to think that there's a little gang of them, because I don't want them to be on their own. That's the saddest thought in the world.
You know? Oh, you're making me well up.
Oh,
that's just such a gorgeous thought, isn't it? Oh, Lucy, are you okay? Yeah, she's all right. She's okay.
And also, can I say, if they don't have names, it doesn't matter either. You just say, look, just go and find this group of babies out there, and they're friendly, just tell them to go and find them, you know. And if anyone's listening to this podcast going, Pippa is a Lulu, that's your opinion, but I think it's so lovely to think that they're all together, you know.
But that, you know, that almost circles all the way back to that whole conversation about, okay, we could either focus on what people think of us,
or
we just let that fucking go, and we just use the thing that is actually so bloody helpful and reassuring and comforting. Yeah. And actually, who cares what
Alice.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't. I think the older I get as well, the more I just really don't care about that, and that I just go, this is what is supporting me.
I think I need to come on one of your courses.
Yeah.
Now, letting go of what people think.
It's taken a lot of inner work for me to get. I mean, that's one of my major things, like, you know, the thought of, you know, what other people think. But it's incredibly freeing to just go, well, this is comforting to me. And this is what helps me, and this is what I'm going to use. So I'm going to take that with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pippa, thank you for your wonderful stories and, you know, thoughts and perspective and time this morning. It's just been so gorgeous to talk to you.
I have loved it. I was a little bit worried because last week it was very overwhelming, but this has been so light, and we've been hopefully helpful to people who are listening. You know, as you said, you just want to pass it forward and just be of service, you know. So hopefully all of this has been helpful.
Good. And I'm really pleased that you said that, because that's definitely, you know, what we focus on is like holding space for the stuff that is, you know, beyond difficult, beyond hard. You know, the fact that you are working and being of service by sharing what happens beyond grief and beyond that really incredibly hard bit, I feel like is a life raft. It's an olive branch, not an olive branch, that's the wrong thing, isn't it? That's like a peace thing. Like a, you know, like a something to kind of say, we're over here, I know where you are, but we're here, and we can help you to get there by, you know, sharing all of this stuff. People saying so helpful, so much resonated, and thank you. But yes, it's an honor. So please go and get Pippa's book. It's so wonderful. It's called Beyond Grief, and it is out now. And it is just the most, and it's very easy to read, actually, you know. And I always say, like, I haven't been through pregnancy loss, but for me to be able to really understand what people, and particularly because I support a lot of people who have, so to really understand what that experience is like and what is needed and what is helpful. And there's a lovely big chapter on there about how friends and family can be helpful with really practical things as well. What to say, what not to say, something I'm very passionate about. You know, it's all in there. So do go and read it and go and get it. Another thing that's come through on the chat there. Mariam saying, I also haven't experienced baby loss. However, it's been a real roller coaster ride this year, and I really resonated with how it's changed my perspective in life. I do believe I've changed as a person for the better. I can connect with others on a deeper level. It was wonderful to hear about your experiences. Thank you so much.
Oh, Mariam, thank you so much. I'm sorry you've had a hard time, and I hope you are finding some peace with this. But absolutely, just connecting with others on a deeper level is the one of the only positives that can come from trauma and grief and challenges.
And that is so, yeah, so important, that side of it. And I have loved this live podcast recording. I've really enjoyed it, actually, because normally it's just me and the guest, but it's actually lovely to kind of share it a little bit more while we're talking and get a little bit of feedback about what you know, what we're saying, kind of feels like as we're saying it. So I will let you go. I'm going to let you carry on with your day and let everyone else go as well. But thank you so much again for joining me. And
I have strangely loved it. You know, am I supposed to say that? I don't know. But it's been so nice to talk to you about, you know, experiences and the whole of everything that comes with everything we all experience when we have challenges. So thank you so much, Alice.
Absolute pleasure and honour. Thank you. What an amazing conversation with Pippa. I am just in awe of everybody who is able to formulate what they've been through and get it together in a as she said, like that's something of you, something of service, something that's helpful to put out there in the world. So yeah, massive thank you to Pippa. Thank you to my members who joined us live. And thank you to you who are listening. Come and find me on Instagram. This is Alice Rose. Come and find me on my website, www.thisisalicerose.com. I have got so many resources and so many things that can really start to transform how you're feeling. I am a qualified transformational coach and mindset mentor. I hold space for women who are going through this. So come and find me and let me do that for you. If you have 1 minute of your time to go and leave a little review of this podcast on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful. But in the meantime, I will see you next time. Take care.